The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we are talking law and order, and we're focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. So if you have any questions dealing with the city of Murfreesboro, law and order, crime, traffic, any of these things, give us a shout, 615-893-1450. Our police chief, Michael Bowen, is with us this morning. Hey, Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good to have you with us today. You brought a friend.
Thank you. Yes, Deputy Chief Darrell is with us this morning, and Larry and Clayton. Clayton's off out of state on some training, and Larry's working on an information piece before he goes and does some training. So brought a new guest today. So
that's great. The Deputy Chief with us this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Glad to be here.
We were talking before we went on the air. Time, you talk about time flies when you're having fun.
Right.
Murfreesboro Police Department had been our neighbors forever.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And you mentioned you've been out of there 8 years?
No, six
right?
This year, but
six
I think by the time the old building goes away, it will be about 8 years. So it's just amazing how time has flown.
It doesn't seem like 6 years.
Absolutely
really.
Not. Absolutely not.
We miss you guys.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's quiet. The neighborhood is very quiet.
Yeah.
Too quiet. I mean,
yeah.
There's nobody around us anymore.
Yeah, and I was a 20-year-old kid when I started in that building, so a lot of memories there, you know.
So
I was 50 when I left it, so yeah, a lot of memories.
I shouldn't say this, but my first years at WGNS, yeah. That was a green, grassy area.
Wow.
And
wow.
Goodyear was behind and sold electric cars, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, little bitty, real electric cars, but they were not big cars.
Yeah.
Very small.
It was kind of cool when we were leaving the building and packing up things. We actually found the original architect's drawing for that building, and were able to salvage it and frame it, and it just the whole look of the vehicles in that little photo, and just different time, yeah.
Did they have any of the electric ones? The electric vehicle, the electric Murfreesboro Electric evidently bought several of them from Goodyear,
right?
And I guess regular folks, they were just a little bit bigger, not much bigger than a golf cart, but they had sides on them.
Yeah.
So
that's new to me. Yeah.
And Murfreesboro had them. Of course, yeah. Murfreesboro had them. They had everything.
Yeah. But I definitely enjoy this time of year coming with the county schools and city schools and MTSU on break. The traffic just flows so much better.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the word traffic.
Right.
Because we were at a meeting, I guess it was Monday night. The mayor was conducting the meeting.
Uh-huh.
One of the town hall meetings presented by Main Street Murfreesboro. So it was focused mostly on the square.
Right.
That situation. And they're still concerned. Traffic is still number one.
Right.
What can be done? I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do, is there?
Yeah, there's just basically two things you have to deal with traffic. And are you talking about violations? Are you talking about driving issues? Or are you talking about congestion, road design, things like that? Two totally different ways to approach traffic in Murfreesboro. And, of course, we can make recommendations, we can make suggestions based on the things we're seeing, but our end of it is mainly on the enforcement end, and we always continue, we try to participate. I know we have got some grants coming through the Tennessee Highway Safety Office for certain types of enforcement. We always try to participate in those events. Of course, there's the Rutherford County Traffic Task Force that we participate with other agencies in Rutherford County to make sure that we're focused on traffic-related issues. So there's a lot that we're trying to do on our end. I know to a lot of people, it doesn't seem like enough, because I'll be the first to admit there's still a lot of work to be done. So I always go back to the thing, hey, it always works best for us if we know about specific complaints, specific times. That way we can focus our resources in those areas versus just having a blanket approach to the problem. So I always encourage people to fill out one of the online traffic complaint forms. We'll respond to those, and like I said, we'll monitor those situations. We have ways of measuring traffic speeds in the neighborhood to say, hey, there's a problem here, there's not a problem here, there's a problem between certain times. So we can really break it down into a lot of different segments. So know that it's a priority for us. And like I said, I know that there's some frustration in the calls and emails I get, and just know that we're going to continue to try to work towards that and try to expand our efforts in that area.
Now, as far as speed goes, is that a big problem? I know you started putting out speed bumps or humps in some areas. Did that do anything?
Right. So I think there were some feedback from the community these individuals were asking for traffic calming devices, speed bumps, things of that nature. So the city has set up a process to where you can be evaluated for those types of devices. We don't manage that particular program, but you can go through the traffic engineering department. There's a system set up to where you can see if you qualify for that type of device.
I noticed Nashville is putting in a lot of traffic circles, even extremely small traffic circles, which basically just slow people down at intersections.
Right. And if you look back, and it's just you know, when our town was smaller, things like that, you didn't have these issues. But there's been a lot of work and research and study into traffic calming devices, you know, building your roadways to where it keeps people traveling at slower speeds. You see a lot of the, like you said, a lot of the roundabouts, things like that. So there's different ways that you can actually utilize your roadways to help manage the way people drive. But, you know, you have decades of infrastructure here that don't have that type of setup. So it's something you can look at going forward, and as you make improvements, you can go back and fix some areas. But, you know, a lot of what we have is what we have. So
that and it'll take a good while to
right.
change it.
Right.
Well, first of all, we don't have excess amount of money to do these changes, and that's what it takes.
Yeah. And a lot of it is just being aware of how you operate in your vehicle, and just traveling those roadways, trying to be as safe as you can. A lot of it is personal ownership in your driving.
Here's a question from a listener. They said that they remember back when Chief Crisman was the police chief, and one of his biggest issues was T-bone traffic accidents. Is that still a problem? And I tell you, explain if you would. Some people may not know what a T-bone accident is.
Right. It's just basically when you have a vehicle opposite directions, kind of striking the car on the side, a perpendicular type of accident. And, so one of the big things that we looked at then was intersection accidents and how to hopefully try to mitigate those. And at the intersection, I think at that time the solution was the red light cameras and kind of focusing on those. And, of course, we don't have those at this time, but we will try to do that through manual enforcement or officer enforcement. So,
okay, very good. Here's one for Deputy Chief Gerald. They're asking for you to share some of your background and also to share with us some of the things you are seeing as concerns that you have over the city of Murfreesboro and law enforcement.
Well, I pretty much grew up here in Murfreesboro. I went to Mitch and Nelson Elementary School. My mother was a third grade school teacher at Mitch and Nelson Elementary for 35 years. Actually, I think she taught your son.
Yeah.
If I remember
my
right.
My heart's out to her.
Yeah. I went to Riverdale High School, graduated from there, started the police department when I was 21 years old, so I'll have 30 years in here in just a few months.
Wow.
So I've seen a lot of changes in Murfreesboro. I remember when the city limits ended just on Northfield Boulevard, right past where Kroger Shopping Center is, and now it's nowhere near that now.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I know. It's a lot of growth. A lot of changes have happened. you know, probably some of the biggest complaints that we get are the traffic complaints. And a lot of that has to do with, we've got Murfreesboro's very, you know, it's booming, it's thriving. A lot of people want to come in here. We have a lot of, you know, opportunities for employment and things like that. We have a dedicated traffic unit at the police department that are, they work diligently in traffic enforcement and working vehicle crashes. But that's probably one of the biggest hurdles we've got right now as far as probably where we're putting a lot of efforts and a lot of focus right now.
Here's another question here from a listener who says, I love to ride bicycles. I'm a member of a local bike club, but every time I get out on the sides of the streets and ride in the bike lanes, I'm always afraid somebody's going to hit me. In fact, we lost a member a year ago in a tragic accident on Medical Center Parkway. How can we get a better feel for safety for those riding bicycles?
Yeah, and that's the challenge is, you know, as a bicyclist, a motorcyclist, you can be doing all the right things, and it's the driver that's not paying attention, that's doing things that they shouldn't be doing, that can that cause the issues. And all you can do is follow the best practices for bicycles, for motorcyclists, and just have that situational awareness. Because like I said, a lot of times it's not what you're doing, it's what that other driver does. And that's the challenge. And I don't know how you overcome that challenge, because you're kind of, you know, at the mercy of somebody who's on their cell phone or speeding or doing what they shouldn't be doing, even though you may be doing everything right. So just make sure that if you're part of these organizations, these clubs, that you really look into all the best practices for safety, for operation of bicycles, motorcycles, whatever, and just follow that the best you can.
Here's an interesting question. This one is sent in from a listener who said that the other day they were showing someone in the car, who's the driver, some pictures on their cell phone. They were stopped at a traffic signal, and somebody else in the car said, don't do that. You'll get a ticket if you're seen, even though you're stopped and not moving. Is that true?
No, as long as if you're in movement, that's when you'll face a citation.
Okay, so if you're parked in the car, I think that's interesting. People are interested in things like that. So if you're not moving, it's okay to look at somebody else's cell phone, or even, I guess, yours.
Yeah.
Don't talk on them, though.
Right.
Unless you use hands-free.
Right.
So at any rate, 615-893-1450. That's the number you can send your text messages to. And again, we underline, don't send them if you're driving.
Absolutely.
That's harder. That's worse than talking.
And the thing that gets me all the time is the people that do sit at a red light with their phone, the light turns green, and you're sitting there forever, and you're like, come on.
Yeah. we're getting anxious these days. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, we talked about the speed causing crashes and things like that. Really, it's distracted driving is what causes that.
Yeah. So. And how can we change that? I mean, you'd think tickets and things like that would get their attention, it hits their pocketbook, but they're still doing it.
Right.
So, don't know. As you look at some of the issues, some of the crimes that we're having now, we're moving into the warmer weather. School is officially out. Kids are out playing. Does crime change with the season?
Well, you can see some spikes in certain types of activities, you know. I mean, I'll be honest with you, whenever we have school break, stuff like that, we're like, hey, let's watch these auto burglaries, things like that, because, you know, some of that stuff we do see an increase in, you know, when school lets out, or during, like, extended breaks with school. So, but, you know, our big challenge for us is continually going to be the, or continues to be the whole car burglary, auto theft thing. And hopefully this year, if the budget passes, we'll be able to add some resources to it. But that's really become a challenge, not just for our community, it's just a statewide, if not national, issue with all the thefts, burglaries, things of that nature. So we'll continue to focus on that. And then, of course, there's all the, you know, different variety of crimes that we deal with, and there's nothing that really has seen where we've really seen the increase other than the automobile type crimes.
We have one here saying to Chief Michael Bowen, I listen to your broadcast each time you're on, and you consistently mention about auto break-ins and especially guns being stolen. I heard on the news the other night that one of those guns showed up in Nashville and killed someone. What can be done to reduce that?
The big challenge is, and I think the past few shows we've said it, don't leave guns in those vehicles. And if you do, there's more and more businesses out there, for lack of better terms, that are providing ways to lock up guns safely. And some of them are pretty substantial. I'm not talking about some cheap little box that can be broken up with a hammer, but there's some pretty substantial safes that can be purchased for vehicle use to where you can really deter those type of thefts. I know that a lot of the criminals, they're specifically looking for guns. They'll tell us that we target a certain type of vehicle because we feel like, you know, like if you drive a pickup truck, we feel like, you know, owner of that type of vehicle might have a gun. So there's some specific things, and like I said, a lot of the burglaries too are targets of opportunity, you know, with the key fobs. People leave them in cars, and you know, it's easy to walk up to a car and unlock that car. You can start the car if you just leave it in there. So just be aware of that, and just simple things like locking the doors can help.
Here's an interesting question here from a listener or a comment, really. They're saying that they have their guns for protection, and they want to keep it handy. And every time that they feel like they want to lock it up at home, it runs across their mind, if I need to get to it quickly, somebody breaks into the house, I'm trying to get into the closet to get to my gun safe and open it up, and the same in the car. Isn't there a better solution?
Yeah. So what you have to look at is you have to look at your personal circumstances. If you're single, or it's just you and your wife or whoever it may be living in a house, and you probably have a little bit more latitude than somebody who's married with four or five kids running the house. So those are all personal decisions that you'll have to look at and evaluate. I think primarily what we're trying to talk about here is you go home from night, you got your pistol in the car, you leave it under the front seat, you go in, you go to bed at night. That's the kind of things that are causing a lot of issues. It's just we're not talking about being out and having it available to protect yourself. We're talking about just leaving it in a car overnight or unprotected, yeah.
Okay, another one here from a listener. Back to guns out on the streets. This one says the guns, it looks like, coming from stolen from cars and stolen from houses would be small compared to the break-in recently at one of the gun stores here in town where somebody drove through the front door. They must have gotten a whole trunk full of guns.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those situations you can say, yeah, in one burglary, people got quite a few guns, but you can never say that the cumulative effect of these singles, ones and twos getting stolen over time or don't have an impact. They do. And it's a big number. I want to say Metro's numbers, and I think we haven't really been tracking the numbers, but we're starting to. But I think Metro at one time accounted, I want to say it was maybe 3/4 of the guns that were stolen were from vehicles that were unattended.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back. We're talking law and order this morning. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen and Deputy Chief Gerald both with us this morning. If you have a question, if you have a comment, 615-893-1450. You can talk or text. We'll be right back.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Action Line with Bart Walker. Weekday mornings at 8:10 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Adams Place was a very, very good thing for us to do at our ages or earlier, because I would have been more able to do a lot of the things that are here for us to help us keep feeling younger.
I saw this young lady with her father. She said, yeah, I'm trying to convince my dad that it's better to move in 5 years earlier than 5 minutes too late.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
The Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street, across from the tall NHC building.
We've expanded our store. We've increased it about 600 square feet. We would just be very excited for everybody to come check us out.
Proceeds from sales benefit Greenhouse Ministries, a faith-based nonprofit serving the underserved here in Murfreesboro.
We were able to put merchandise into our store that we previously haven't had displayed. Maternity clothes, scrubs, activewear, pajamas.
The Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street in downtown Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things when we were looking at trying to craft our menu to help those who are dieting is the side dishes. A lot of times we're so used to eating starches and unhealthy side dishes. In addition to our spinach, which we've had on the menu from the start, we've added zucchini and green beans, but we've also added broccoli. The broccoli is properly steamed, so it's not too soft and not too hard. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
Good morning. It's finally starting to get a little bit busier in the last few minutes coming out of Murfreesboro on 24 westbound here at 840 all the way into Antioch. It's picked up quite a bit in Hermitage right now on 40 going westbound as that traffic continues to come in from Mount Juliet. Wilson County traffic there into Hermitage still holding up down 65 as you work your way down through Sumner County. Princess Hot Chicken now has new items on a new menu. Check them all out today. And they also offer Uber Eats delivery. PrincessHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the mid-80s. Tonight, chance for rain and storms, a low near 66. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 77.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
Sometimes strange things can happen.
Coast to coast, all night, every night.
There's really no reason to be afraid.
On WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Happy birthday to Keelan Brown Addison. He is our winner today of that delicious banana pudding from the Slick Pig. Also, want to say good morning to Nancy Pate, our good neighbor of the day. Nancy receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. The person who nominated Nancy Pate said, "Thank you for being such a sweet and caring lady who always has a smile on her face. Makes a cloudy day sunny." Nominate your good neighbor. Let us know who they are. Send us their name, address, and phone number. Tell us why they should be the good neighbor of the day. And welcome back. It's Law and Order Day here on WGNS. If you have a question dealing with law and order here in our community, give us a shout, 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen is with us, along with Deputy Chief Gerald. And if you have a question or comment for either one of them, just give us a shout, 615-893-1450. Let's talk a little about the Crime Center. That's fascinating because you'll be using all sorts of high-tech devices to solve crimes with, and you have it, what would you say, about 80% going now, or maybe more?
Oh, wow. We've got, I'll put it this way, we have two of the technology pieces in place, and the third we're working on right now. So basically, it's going to consist of three pieces of technology. We'll have the automated license plate readers, we'll have the public safety camera systems, and then we'll have the ShotSpotter technology. So the LPR systems, a lot of that has been installed. We do have more coming through the Governor Lee's crime grant. We do have the public safety cameras installed. A lot of them aren't operational yet. They're still in the installation phase. And then what's going on right now is the third component, which is the ShotSpotter technology. And it's it's actually not the ShotSpotter brand. There's a brand out there called ShotSpotter, but it's gunshot detection technology. That is being installed probably as we speak. So that's the third component that's going up.
How does this cover the whole city, or does it?
It doesn't cover the whole city, so that's the big thing to be aware of. The LPR technology, you'll see that it provides, by the time we install the second phase of LPR systems, you'll see that it will have a wide coverage throughout the city. The public safety camera systems, you'll see that probably covers a smaller area of the community. We've just identified some what we call hot spots and tried to put them in those locations. So for those systems, you're probably looking at around 30 cameras. The gunshot technology is different. So what you'll see is that will probably cover an area based on the square miles of the city would be approximately less than 5% of the city. So it's not a huge area that we're covering. It's an area that we're covering based on data. It's a targeted area based on data and information.
Very good. So those and is most of that working to some degree right now?
The ShotSpotter technology is not.
Not, okay.
Okay. But like I said, we're installing that right now. So that was approved just a few weeks ago. So, but just to explain what it is, and Larry, in fact, Larry's fixing to go on training right now, but one of the things he's doing is updating our video for online. If you go to our website, you can click on the department, you can click on the Real-Time Crime Center, and it will show you some frequently asked questions of what it involves and what it is and what it isn't, for lack of better terms. So we have that, and then just the big things with the I've already gotten a couple of calls on the gunshot detection, and the big thing is it's not a voice recording system. It's not something that measures conversations, anything like that. It measures the sound waves from a firearm being discharged, and that's what we get. So the only thing that we can get out of those recordings is we can get about a 5-second audio of the actual shots being fired. And like I said, it requires a lot of these devices to be placed to be able to get adequate coverage for an area, and then of course it will speed up our response time. And the big challenge too is it'll let us know, hey, are we getting all the calls for gunshot incidents, or are they being underreported, or are we seeing the reports coming in at an equivalent rate from the detection devices.
Sounds really travel a long distance at nighttime,
right?
And so I would imagine you could hear gunshots fired in a good bit of the city with this system once it's in.
Yeah.
Enough to at least know,
yeah,
is that really a sound that somebody heard? Is it a gun? And again, can it distinguish really well whether it's a gun or fireworks?
Yeah. So the technology is pretty advanced. It's pretty amazing how it's used. And it can make a... one of the questions we got asked by the vendor was, do you allow fireworks? And saying, we're like, yeah, certain times. And he says, all right, so you need to be aware that, you know, when you use this device that you don't want. Yeah. I go back to it's focused in a certain area. The sensors the way they're designed, they can get us within 90 feet of a gunshot incident. And what we do is anytime we have a shots fired call, every Tuesday we have a staff meeting and we go over different crimes in the city. And one of the things we talk about is confirmed and unconfirmed shots fired calls. So the big challenge for us is a lot of times we have unconfirmed, meaning we have no witnesses, we have no shell casings, anything like that. So hopefully that'll help us distinguish between what's reality and what may be a car backfire and what may be a firework or something of that nature.
Very good. So people are, when they hear a lot of shots being fired or what they think are shots being fired, they can call you and notify you, and that will soon enable them to breathe a little easier. So when do you think that'll be in service, actually?
End of the month.
End of the month. Okay.
That's our target. That's our target. And one thing, big thing that we want to push out is all this technology is movable. So if we put up certain technology in an area, just know that we try to be have a minimal footprint as far as what we're doing in an area. We try to, you know, if we can couple it with other utilities, use existing utilities, things like that, we try to minimize the impact as far as how we do installations. And all this stuff can be moved. So if we go into an area and we think we have an issue and we're saying, hey, the devices aren't detecting an issue, but we do see a spike here, we can always say, hey, let's just move this to a different location. So just because it's in an area now doesn't mean it's going to be a permanent location.
Okay. Very good. That we have a comment here that came in, and I will mention this just so the listener who sent it in knows that we did get it. And we'll pass it on to the right source, the right choice. It says there's a huge pothole off Rutherford Boulevard behind Creative Smiles Dental. It is a short off-road. If it's raining, it's hard to see it. And it really needs to be fixed because it's really bad. They say, I don't know who to contact, but we thought you could help. Thank you, and we will pass that on to the right person. In fact, hopefully, Sam Huddleston's listening. Sam listens all the time.
Yeah.
And with the city. And so, Sam, I'll contact you after the show if you're not listening. At any rate, our phone number, 615-893-1450. We'll help you with whatever we can. We're talking this morning. Chief Michael Bowen is with us. We're talking law and order here in the city of Murfreesboro. And with summer activities on the square in particular, how safe will people be if they go on the square? Should they do anything in particular when they're in large crowds of people to reduce their risk of being harmed? We hear so much in the news of things happening. We just don't want it to happen in Murfreesboro.
Right, and you can never predict these incidents, and I'll always go back to say, whether you're on the square, whether you're shopping in the mall, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you should have some awareness of your surroundings, and you should always be prepared to respond. So I wouldn't just chalk it up to square activities, things like that, because that should be a personal awareness that you should have anywhere you go. I can tell you that the events on the square, I'd go enjoy those events. It's a great time to be up there. There's a lot going on, a lot of good things. All these events, there's a permitting process in the city where a lot of these events, they clear through the traffic and engineering department. They come through our department. So it gets looked at a couple of times. And events where we see that we need to be involved, we make necessary preparations. Events where they're smaller events, we can have the event sponsors hire off-duty officers to manage those events. So there's a lot of ways that every event has to be looked at differently. So there's different ways to address the safety and security of those events. But definitely a great city, great place to just enjoy these activities.
Very definitely. I don't think that the listener had any reference really to making it the square.
Well, it's just where most things
happen.
I mean, you can't look nationally at what's gone at some of these events and not be concerned and not have some apprehensions, and that's totally understandable, and I get it. And it's one of those things that the planners and organizations just need to do the best they can to provide for the security in those situations. It's just human nature to see what's going on nationally and not be affected somehow, and I understand that.
Very definitely. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're talking this morning with Chief Michael Bowen from the Murfreesboro City Police Department. Here's a question. Says, our church is probably one of the last ones to think about this, but we're starting to get more concerned with our Sunday morning services and how safe they are. People are just wandering in that we'd have no idea who they are. We welcome everybody, but sometimes you get a little concerned. What do you need to do to hire an off-duty officer at your church?
Okay, so I know the county and Murfreesboro, we both provide the ability. We use a company called Off Duty Solutions where you can contact the police department or go through Off Duty Solutions to hire somebody. The county, I don't know what their specific hiring process is for Off Duty, but I tell you, the church I attend has security in place, and I know that we do have a lot of officers that do work those security. You'll drive by churches on Sunday, and you'll see vehicles, police vehicles in parking lots. Those are all people being hired off duty. So it's being done. If you can't find what you're looking for, contact Captain Craig Snyder at the police department. He manages that section that deals with off-duty employment, and he'll be able to help you out, Captain Craig Snyder.
Okay. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Michael Bowen. Hi. Did you have a question?
Good morning. I wanted to thank Chief Bowen for his service to Murfreesboro. I go back 40-plus years to Riverdale with Mike, and several of our classmates have been on the Murfreesboro Police Force, and I appreciate their service to our city. And my question was, Mike, have you seen or do you feel like, and obviously the crime is going to increase as a population increases, but do you think that the proliferation of apartment complexes in the city of Murfreesboro has increased the amount of crime above and beyond what the normal population increase might be? And I will just hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so as a encompassing term for the entire city, I wouldn't be able to speak to that. I can tell you that there are certain complexes in certain areas of town that have been a challenge for us and have caused certain areas in our city to require more focus, more attention. So we have a program that we're trying to start right now. And to the caller's question, we do have a program that we tried to start it a few years ago, and it was a crime-free housing program. And that's something that we've been working on. We're fixing to revisit to where we can have some partnerships, because the big challenge with apartment complexes is they bring in volume to the city. You bring in mass numbers of residents to the city. So that's the big challenge. And we, like I said, we have identified certain complexes in our area, and we tried to reach out and try to build partnerships with them, and we're going to continue to do that. One of the big things for us right now is with all this technology we've been talking about being available to law enforcement. It's not just available to law enforcement, it's available to some of these private entities, private homeowner associations. So one of the big challenges to help us with the apartment complexes is we're going to have that program reinstated, and we're going to talk about some of the technology pieces that they can invest in and share with us to help us manage that. Because, like I said, there's some complexes out there and that are challenging, and it's something that always remains a top priority for us.
Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen is our guest this morning. We are talking law and order. We'll be right back and take more of your questions.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. We also have PA and DJ equipment. Some lights, yes, we have that covered too. You can come rent a PA and sound system, do your karaoke, and bring it back. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the mid-80s. Tonight, chance for rain and storms, a low near 66. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 77.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Welcome back. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen is our guest this morning. So if you have a question, give us a shout, 615-893-1450. The show is in the last segment. We have about 8 minutes left, so don't wait until the last minute to send us a question. Here's another one. This one's from a listener who's saying, we are not hearing so many bad reports of shootings in Murfreesboro like we had a year or so ago. Seemed like there was quite a few murders going on in the community. Are there still problems like that? And if so, what are some of the areas that you see this the most in?
Yeah, so you can access that data through our website at crimemapping.com, and you can just pick out areas and be able to do that. I can tell you that we talk about these meetings, and I think it was the last time we called, somebody had mentioned the some of the incidents going down and not hearing as much of it. You know, sometimes this stuff comes in spurts, comes in cycles, so I don't never let our guard down when it comes to some of this stuff. And even though we might see it, I think a few months ago somebody had mentioned, you know, the shots fired trend, and we were seeing a decline. Well, we're starting to see a trend upward. So these things, you know, you just have to constantly monitor. It's like the several years ago when we had some of the homicides that caused a lot of concern. We didn't have very many that year, but they all happened like in the month of May in apartment complexes. So you really have to evaluate the trends that you're seeing and what you're looking at. But that information we always try to make available through a link, and we always want people to know that we keep the crime in Tennessee reports posted on our websites. And those, I think we have several years of those to where you can look at those. It'll have not just our city, it'll have other cities across the state to where you can kind of see a comparison. As my Riverdale alumni called in earlier, the big thing, and I think they kind of touched on a point that as we grow, we are seeing more incidents of crime, but proportionate to the population, there's really not a huge spike as far as that goes. You're seeing more incidents due to the population increase, but you're not seeing more incidents per population. So that's something always to be cognizant of.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago that you're seeing a trend upward in the shots fired calls. When you go and investigate those calls, are you finding bullet shells that would lend to believe that it's really something happening?
Yeah, I can remember, man, it's been several years ago. We were getting a shots fired call, and, man, it was going all across the street. And we were envisioning some guy out the window, hanging out the window with a pistol or whatever, just shooting in there, backfiring. He was going through town, backfiring.
That's something we don't think about. Fireworks is one thing, but backfire.
Yeah. So what we have to be careful of is we have two categories. We have a confirmed category and we have an unconfirmed category. So what we'll do is we'll go out there, we'll look for evidence, or if we can corroborate, if we don't find physical evidence, but we have witness statements to say, hey, yeah, and we can verify those with witness statements, we'll put those in the confirmed category. We didn't have our staff meeting yesterday because I'd be able to recite you the numbers that we were looking at for this year to date. I know that compared to last year that it's overall down, but like I said, as compared to a month or two ago, I think we're seeing a slight increase.
Now, when you see that slight increase, is it people just going out shooting up in the air having fun, or is it something serious?
Yeah. See, that's the challenge is, even though you can look at reports of homicide, reports of aggravated assaults or other crimes involving a firearm, those get reported, addressed, and investigated. But some of this is just random. Somebody just wants to stand out, do whatever. So or a lot of cases, if nobody's at the scene when we get there, we don't know what the intent was when those shots were fired. But, you know, if there's any evidence there, we collect it, we process it, and we use it because we may be able to detect those firearms to other crimes in other areas. We can link a lot of those things just by random casings.
And so that shows you firsthand that this weapon was stolen and it was used not only in this random case in Murfreesboro, but a shooting somewhere else.
Yeah, it wouldn't be able to tell you. It would be hard to say. It can't tell you that it was stolen. It can link it with another firearm. Now, if there's a report of that particular firearm being reported stolen in another area, then you can make that connection. But just based on picking it up and picking up the casings and testing it, that in itself would not let you know. But like I said, if you can link it through our system to another firearm where it's been reported stolen, then you can do it through that means.
Now, obviously, that's what they used in Nashville. This listener who sent us a text earlier in the show saying that a gun stolen from Murfreesboro was used in a shooting in Nashville, I believe is what they were referring to.
Right.
And so you're able to know all of that.
Right. It's pretty amazing what you're able to accomplish nowadays with some of these investigations. And you can do a whole lot to link these firearms and show where they've been used in maybe more than one incident, things of that nature.
So you can, from one crime scene, perhaps solve several crimes. People don't stop and think about that.
In some cases, that could be very true.
And this is something I know that the county's working on, but you would be involved. Would a crime facility, like they're talking about, where you're using forensic science, would that help the whole county?
Yeah, so I actually met with the county a few weeks ago. I can't remember how long it's been, but we talked about that. And the big challenge to remember there is I think what they're talking about developing is a facility to do autopsies, postmortem type things, not so much the evidence analysis. So that would be like a postmortem type facility. And I think we would still have to rely on the TBI to do our true evidence processing as far as, you know, the drug testing, the alcohol testing, things of that nature. So
we have about a minute left in our broadcast this morning. Are there any particular things that you would like to touch on before we leave today?
No, just like I said, we try to keep a lot of information in. We're trying to be as open and upfront as we can be on this whole real-time crime center, and just want to encourage people, if you have questions or concerns, to call me, to go to our website, because we try to keep that up to date with questions. If you think there's a question we need to put on there and provide an answer to so that everybody can see it, we'd be glad to do that. And I know many times that you've had callers call in, I say, hey, give me a call at the office because it's something we really couldn't talk about over the radio. I just encourage you that I'm available. I work for you all. If you need to call me or email me about something, feel free to do so. I'll make myself available and take time to talk with you.
Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen is our guest this morning. We've been talking law and order here in the heart of Tennessee. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.